Your data, this is beyond compare. With flame charts and artistic flair, scenographs and lines of blue and green. Your code is like a breath of spring. I'm impressed with what I'm seeing. Let's talk about the tools that get us there. Tools Day, Tools Day, Tools Day, Tools Day. I'm begging of you, please just start the show. Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about DataViz tools.
DataViz.
DataViz tools.
Again, so, kind of.
Well, what do you mean kind of?
Well, I mean, we briefly talked about it about 6 months ago in May with the DataSketch wonderful people. So, you know, kind of a little bit again.
Yeah, so...
But more...
Check that show out because they talked a lot about their inspiration, their process, and it was really, really cool to have them on. We were live from JSConf EU, and in this show, we kind of wanted to continue like our maker series feel of the show and talk about our experiences and also just some of the tools that we can use to create DataViz and kind of go into detail about those tools. Before the show, we were talking, Chris introduced me to a new one, so hopefully y'all will learn something from the show as well. We were just thinking we should record
kind of our
like the banter beforehand because it just gets really weird.
I mean, it's one of those things that are like, oh, this would be interesting, but then they go, oh, is this just funny just to us?
Probably.
Maybe.
Probably. Okay, so let's talk about the first tool. That's D3, which is data-driven documents. It's probably the most well-known DataViz tool, would you say, out there?
Yeah, so D3.js, I think most people have heard of it. It's gone through a couple different revisions. The latest one is the 3 or 4. But, you know, whenever you hear data visualizations, you kind of hear D3 first, and then people are like, wait, D3 is too hard. Let me use something else.
Okay, so I have thoughts about this. D3, first of all, D3 can be in Canvas or in SVG, so you can kind of, like, use it in either way. I think that D3 is a lot like Meteor. Remember that project Meteor?
I remember Meteor. I'm not seeing the relationship, though.
Okay, let me continue. So, like Meteor, D3 gives a lot of like preconceived visualizations. So it's really easy to take your data and create a line chart like D3 defines a line chart, or a pie chart as D3 defines a pie chart. But when you're trying to customize it, I feel, and make visualizations that you've designed without thinking about how D3 gives you presets, it's a lot harder to work with because you have to work around all the D3 code.
I actually disagree with that because like D3, I think if you go through it, like its API, you have a lot of granular details. There are a couple things built out of the box, but I feel like most people have issues with the amount of things you can do with D3 and not enough instructions about how to do it. Because like you can make a line graph, but then like sometimes like making the line graph with the axes and making it all work and then update properly, it gets really difficult because D3 doesn't really tell you how to do anything. It just says, it says, here's all the stuff. Hope you figure it out. Here's some examples. Goodbye.
Yeah. So maybe it's the docs. Maybe it's a docs issue, but that's exactly what it is. It's like, wow, you can build something really quickly, but it all looks the same, just like any other D3 graph. And then if you're using it for its primitives, I think it's way too heavy because there's other solutions that are much smaller than D3 that you can just build DataViz out of without having to import the entire library.
Yeah, I kind of think it depends on how deep you're going, right? If you're just building a line graph, a pie graph, a bar graph, and some of these things that are kind of generic things you need every day, then maybe D3 is not the correct library just because the power of D3 really is its massive tool set that you can pick and choose which ones you need and manipulate from there. But if you're just doing a kind of standard library or standard graph, I don't think D3 is the correct tool for that.
What do you think that D3 is the correct tool for?
There's a lot. So if you're trying to make a complex visualization with a lot of complex relationships that requires, you know, maybe a lot of JavaScript, you know, intersecting different states, and you know, you want to build, you know, like one of the data sketches that, you know, Shirley Wu and Nadia build, they're all in D3 because there's some complicated things going on, and you need D3's power kind of to make a sense of that.
They do a good job of making their visualizations not look like all the other D3 visualizations out there.
Yeah, I mean, so D3 kind of, so the way I learned D3 is that, you know, you go to D3's website and you click examples, because the documentation links is terrible. And then you kind of go through, you pick the graph you want, and you literally copy paste that code in.
Right, but so many of these examples look the same. That's what I'm saying. Like, they all look alike.
Yeah, but I don't think that's D3's fault per se. I think that's the fault of the documentation behind D3 and D3 being so difficult to jump into that people just kind of copy paste the examples and then make kind of some tweaks and go from there.
Okay, so I think that we kind of agree in a way. But you're saying it's not D3, it's the docs, and I could totally see that. But it's still, like, it's a pretty heavy library for using its primitives.
So in the latest edition, they've actually done a lot of work for this, where before you had to import the entire D3 library. Now you can, like, just import in the individual modules, and so you can only just take the specific parts you need. And so this is as of the latest version, and so it's much lighter than it used to be if you only need specific parts. At the same time, it's still really complex to use, and so if you don't need, you know, the power, then maybe D3 is not the correct choice.
Yeah. I think that you're right. Maybe I will give this another go. I just know that, like, baby Yuna working with her first data visualization was D3, and it was just very basic looking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things.
It didn't feel that creative to me.
You can do everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that D3's syntax is like kind of like jQuery-esque, where you, like, select an element and then you do something to it. But you kind of have to, like, I don't know. It took me a while to kind of grok D3. And it really, if you're going to learn D3, there are a couple great resources. Front of Masters has two different courses on it. One is by Shirley Wu, as of, like, 2 months ago.
And she's one of the people that works on data sketches, which we will link in here. If you didn't hear the other episode that we did with them on, you should definitely check out data sketches. The website is datasketch.es. We'll also link it.
Yeah, those things are amazing, and she does a great job at explaining through D3 and some of the stuff with that, as well as some interactions with React. And then the creator of D3, whose name I'm forgetting right now, I feel terrible about, also did one on Run a Masters like 3 years ago. So it's a little bit out of date, but both great resources for learning D3, cool, if you choose the D3 route.
So the next one I want to talk about is Snap SVG. I feel like that kind of came sequentially after that, like a while later. And Snap was kind of an animation library for working with SVG, if I remember the beginnings of Snap.
Yeah, because it was like, there was like Raphael, there was Paper.
PaperJS was right, the thing. The I don't know anyone that really used this stuff. It looked beautiful, and the examples are beautiful, like of PaperJS specifically. There's a lot of like little wormy things like tadpoles and lots of Mona Lisa examples. And this is really fun, beautiful stuff. I just have never seen it in production. Like, D3 is a very production oriented library.
Yeah. So I think with like Raphael, it was like Raphael, Snap, and like also like SVG.js. Those are a different tool set, right? So like you've been working with SVG.js a bunch recently.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people will compare Snap SVG and SVG.js because they do functionally similar things where you're building SVGs directly versus building a chart like D3 is.
Yeah, and I find that was a little bit easier for me to work with than building it. Maybe it just felt more creative that way than to start from a chart. But I was working with SVG.js recently for a hackathon project, and that one was really nice. It had a really nice basic documentation set that explained everything that you were looking for, which is just like, holy, expletive. What? I drum break. It was just nice.
What kind of visualization were you building with it?
So we were building a node chart of DO services for a hackathon. And in that, we had all our different nodes be the different services that work to power DigitalOcean, everything from the backend services to the front end, and like all the hypervisor level, like just everything that was like sending requests to each other. And we used on the edges, we used those to show the connection. And I was working with a developer, Nan, who's freaking brilliant. I was really happy to get to like see him work and pair with him. But he like figured out a way to like create first all these polylines based on the traffic to kind of represent visually like these like time stamps of when requests were going in and out and how many requests, and then transformed the lines. Like, this was so much math. Like, all of them started at the same point, 0, 0, and then he had to take both the nodes and their coordinates and like transform the lines and like how they were represented. But it felt a lot more creative. Like, we had a lot more control over what that looked like there, because it was just the primitive. So we were just playing with creating nodes and creating edges by creating circles and lines and polylines and all those different things, and sending data through WebSockets so that it was just pulling data and information and just representing it, creating all these different SVGs. And it wasn't as processor intensive as I expected once it wasn't running all the traces on my system.
Were there any like weird hiccups you had when using it? Like, or
was this just like super seamless? The coordinate system is kind of weird. So you have to like make sure that you set the view box also independently. And the coordinate system for SVG is different than for the DOM. So that's something that you just have to be aware of. I felt like the coordinates, at least for me, was something that I just had to like kind of pause and remember. Also, the transform origin stuff is kind of weird in SVG sometimes. So that was something that we had to like recalculate for some of the nodes.
So can you rewind for me, refresh for me? What is transform origin?
So when
you transform, go ahead.
Yeah, like if you're rotating something, it's the point at which you're rotating it. So this is a CSS property where like if you're rotating something, you're transforming it anyway, translating, etc. I think it usually starts from the bottom like left corner. I don't remember what the original one was. Actually, don't quote me. But you can set the transform origin to be like 50% or top, bottom, wherever. But in our case, we had to calculate where the center of the line was because we were scaling and rotating it at the same time.
I remember actually trying to deal with this at some point. I think like if you use GreenSock and animations, this is kind of back to animations, but like there are a couple. I remember trying to having this issue of flipping something at one point because you're right, because it's bottom left or top left as opposed to the middle of it. So you're trying to flip something or reflect it across. It comes very weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other wonky things with SVG.js? Or what did you like most SVG.js beyond the documentation?
So I like that it had some really easy to use primitives, like moving things on the page, like translation. It's just move, and you give it coordinates, and like everything gets its own attributes. Like if you're creating a new rectangle or circle or anything, you can just set .attr, and all the SVG properties that you can set in there as well. Also, because it was SVG, you could also just do any JavaScript transformations on the page itself to apply your own kind of quote extended API, but just using the DOM. So I really liked that. Whereas like with D3, I don't know if that would work as well. Especially, I mean, I guess maybe if you're doing the SVG version of it, but I think when I was working with D3 was Canvas.
Yeah, so I actually think D3 might have dropped to Canvas in the latest version. But
that's how long ago.
Usually usually when I use D3, I'm chaining D3 methods. I don't pop out of the D3 methods set. So generally not using native methods at that point. I don't know if that's a pro con.
Neither, because you could just chain SVJS methods, and that's what we did for most of it. But they also have event listeners just as a part of SVG.js, which I appreciated personally. So like click mouse over, mouse up, etc. You could just create your own toggles that felt very jQuery-esque, but just through this API. And I don't know, jQuery was so nice. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, I saw some. I saw the SVG.js author drop a comment in Stack Overflow about describing his direction with SVG.js, saying that he wanted SVG.js to have a kind of a object oriented, very JavaScripty way of writing SVG code. So some of the other libraries like Raphael or SnapSVG kind of let you have you drop in like large strings to kind of manipulate things, whereas SVG.js says here's an object and have at it with that, and so it feels more JavaScripty, which is a pro for me at least.
Yeah, I will say that SnapSVG has a really nice getting started little tutorial, and I remember going through that when it came out. I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. A while ago, but I'm looking at it right now and it just brings me back to when I first looked at this. Like, I remember this completely, and that's really saying something. So,
it hasn't changed. It's still on version 0.5.1. So,
so don't use it. But, just kidding. I think it's
Well,
it's stable. Know. That's good, right?
It's stable, I guess so. It still references Grunt in its build tool, so it's a little bit older now, I guess.
Yeah, time has passed, man.
Nothing wrong with Grunt. If you still use Grunt, all power to you. But you should probably swap to Gulp, anyways. I wanted to bring up real quick another couple of libraries while we're on topics of graphs. So a lot of people will bet in D3 and then say, you know, I still want to build graphs. What should I use? And there's kind of a big variety of different types of graphs. There's high charts, there's Chart.js, there's Chartist, and a couple others. There's C3, which is basically D3, but the nicer API.
I remember Chartist. I actually contributed to Chartist once upon a time.
I was actually going to say Chartist was the one that, like, if you're trying to find a D3 replacement and you're just trying to build, you know, kind of straightforward graphs, Chartist is a great, great solution.
It's got a great API. I totally forgot about Chartist.
Well, here you go. Now you're here. It's got a great API. It's got you know, wrappers for every kind of different framework you're using, and it's really clean to use. And so if you're not looking to build the most complicated flame chart in the world, check out Chartist.js. Really fun to use. So
I'm really glad that you brought it up.
That's my kind of plug for a non D3 library.
Also, these charting libraries just have really nice websites, like in comparison.
Except for D3.
I think they're all tired of D3. They're doing the opposite. It's like a reaction D3. It's like post D3, like postmodern.
So here's my thing. So it's like, you might think post D3, but D3 still, in my view, like, it's still the best library. Like, I know people may disagree, and I think you disagree too, but like, I think D3 gives you the most amount of ability.
I think it's the most robust library. I don't disagree with you there. But that being said, robust doesn't always mean the best. It's also the biggest one. Well, it might not be anymore. They're doing some work on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you can pluck and choose which ones you need now. So I think using like ES6 modules and tree shaking, you can actually just find the small bits you need.
Yeah, that's true.
Or, you know, reference the ones you need directly.
I want you to talk about Victory, this new one that you just told me about.
Oh, yes. Sorry. So if you're in the React world, I highly recommend you guys check out Victory.js. It's actually a library on top of D3. So secretly, you are still using D3. But it's made by Formidable Labs. They are the people who kind of drive a lot of their... If you've been into 538 before, it's a big data stat website, politics. They use Victory, and it's this really robust, flexible chart library that gives you a bunch of different primitives. Like, it gives you an axis, it gives you circles, bars, you know, hover states, blah, blah, blah. And it intersects really nicely with the React React world. And so if you're trying to build graphs in React, you kind of have a lot of weird, wonky things trying to use D3 directly. You can, but Victory makes it much easier. So definitely check it out. It doesn't have the easiest thing to Google, because like Victory means nothing to most people. So if you Google Formidable Victory React, you'll get it.
And we'll have a link too in the show notes.
Yeah, that too. They've done a bunch of it. Go ahead.
I'm noticing that when we're talking about data visualization, it sounds like we're kind of talking about two different camps of it. We're talking about like charting libraries. Like Victory is a charting library. I'm looking at the docs right now for the first time, and it looks like a really nice charting library. Like everything is about charts, chart wrappers, chart data. It's really consistent in that. And D3 is the same thing. It seems a little more like D3 is more robust still with its charting capabilities. But then things like Snap and SVG.js and some of the other things we mentioned, those are just SVG libraries and like SVG primitives and animation and different kind of working with SVG tools there.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree. I think there's definitely two different camps. And I guess for me, most of the time when I build DataViz, I'm building charts, not DataVizes. I mean, they are DataVizes, but they're not like, they are just charts.
Yeah. Yes. DataViz can be defined in so many different ways. And I didn't even realize that we were doing this until like this moment in the conversation. I'm like, wow, we never really defined what data visualization is. I guess it could be anything.
Yeah. I mean, I it all depends on your use case. I think DataViz is probably one of the coolest parts of web dev right now, because we're at the stage where I think large data sets are becoming more and more prevalent, and a lot of things people are building now require lots of data.
And live data. People. And, you know, live serverless data, functions allow us to just, you know, do the mathematics on the fly.
Yeah.
So I think that stuff is really cool to see what people are building out of it.
Yeah. One more thing about Victory real quick while I'm still here. One of the coolest things about Victory is that if you want to take Victory, put it into your company, they have this really robust theming ability. And I'm super about this. Like, so we'll drop a link, but like you can just go in and basically give it this object of different properties, and the entire system will scale based off of it. And it's super cool. So
apply like your brand properties to Victory, and it just pulls that in.
It's really cool. I mean,
that
Victory
sounds
has
like a very React
they've
thing
thought
to
of,
do also. That's like they, the React yeah, styling probably. World.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a whole bunch of stuff that if you want to make Victory work for your company project and look like your project, not Victory, you can do it. And it's really cool. So anyways, that's my last plug for Victory.
Nice. Okay. So I think we're actually at time for our show this week. We talked about a lot of different tools. I hope that this show was helpful to kind of go through some of the more pragmatic, like tools to use stuff. For you, but we'll link to all these in the show notes. As always, if you enjoyed the show, please give us a shout on whatever place you listen to your podcasts on. Leave a little review, share it with a friend. That's even better. Like, that's how people hear about the show. If you want to support the show, please go to our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/toolsday. You can find us on Twitter at TOOLSDAY at Toolsday, so feel free to send us show requests, etc. I do want to give a quick shout out to one of our supporters who has been supporting us for a long time, and that's Webflow. Thank you so much for your continued support. We appreciate you. Couldn't have the show without you. So please, if you enjoy the show and feel like becoming a patron, just check out our Patreon. If not, then at least tell your friends about our show. That's like a reasonable thing to do, right? That's a reasonable ask. That's all we have for now. We'll see you next time.